Somebody throw something.
Right? Okay. Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to the Thursday, February 19th meeting of the Senate Committee on Rules. Members, thanks for being on time. We have three bills that we're going to do public hearings on shortly, but before we do that, we also have one bill introduction to do. And this, as you know, as we always say, is not going to be any indication of your support for this particular bill, but just to get it into the process. So I will open a work session for the purpose of possible introduction of committee measure and turn it to Senator Farrioli. I see you eagerly.
I move that LC 3956 be introduced as a committee bill.
Thank you. Senator Farrioli moves that LC 3956 be introduced as a committee bill. Is there any discussion on the motion? Any objection to the motion?
No, ma'am. I was told to say nothing.
And I see no objections, so the motion carries. Bill is introduced.
You didn't miss
and
it.
I'll close this work session.
Tell me what you want to say.
And moving right along, I'll open a public hearing on Senate Bill 27 and ask our committee administrator to tell us about this bill.
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. Senate Bill 27 comes to you on the request of the Association of County Clerks. It is an omnibus technical fix bill. Each legislative session, they do have a bill that deals with a number of provisions that need to be resolved for county clerks. This particular measure this time resolves certain contradictory provisions applicable to duties of county clerk, eliminates biannual duty of county to examine financial books and papers of county clerk, clerk of county court, treasurer, and sheriff, requires purchaser to record share certificate of execution of sale in county clerk lien record. There is no revenue impact. We have not received a fiscal impact on the measure yet.
And our committee assistants bringing our witness list forward. And it looks like we have one person signed up to testify on this bill, and it's Art Harvey. So if you'd like to come forward. I see we have two people.
Welcome. Madam Chair, I'm sorry, that was a forethought.
Welcome to the Senate Rules Committee. If you could start by just telling us who you are and then tell us about the bill.
Certainly. Madam Chair, members of the committee, my name is Art Harvey. I'm Josephine County Clerk. I'm also co-chair of the Legislative Committee for OACC, Oregon Association of County Clerks. Thank you for the opportunity to appear here today at this hearing regarding Senate Bill 27. The Oregon Association of County Clerks supports SB 27, the association's housekeeping bill. The proposed corrections resolve contradictions and repeal an outdated provision in statute and offer to complete the public notice requirements for the sheriff's sale of property. The changes recommended by AOCC include, excuse me, counties can collect a $20 penalty if a document presented for recording does not comply with the first page requirements. The fix changes the word and to or and is currently a common practice used by counties to prevent the rejection of otherwise recordable documents. This bill would repeal ORS 294.085, an outdated requirement for a county court or board of county commissioners to physically examine the books and papers, and that the county clerk and the clerk, county clerk and the clerk of the county court exhibit the orders, vouchers, stubs and of warrants, along with other books and papers related to the county's financial affairs twice a year. Those things happen currently, but typically not involving the county clerk. The fee for solemnizing a marriage in ORS 205.320 is amended to match the fee in ORS 106.120 that was changed in 2004 by House Bill 4066, currently one specifies a fee of $100. The other one specifies a fee of $105. This would bring them both to $105. The time frame of 10 days in ORS 106.170 is amended to match the time frame of 5 calendar days in ORS 432-405 that became effective through House Bill 2093 in the 2013 session. It brings them both to 5 days. And last but not least, Sheriff certificate of sales are issued by a sheriff's office to the highest bidder at a public auction in connection with a judicial foreclosure. Certificates issued to the purchaser at a public auction subject to a 180-day redemption period. Certificates for sale are currently not required to be recorded and are frequently assigned to a new purchaser. With most other assignments, the underlying right, title, or interest is already recorded. The amendment will align legislative intent with other statutes and require assignments to be accepted only when the certificates have been recorded. This will enhance constructive notice to those examining the public record. Oregon Association of County Clerks requests that you support SB 27. I'm open to any questions you might have.
Thank you. Did you have testimony as well?
I'm really here for moral support, Madam Chair. I'm Darren Dag Robinson, Harney County Clerk and Vice Chairman of the Oregon Association of County Clerks Legislative Committee.
Great. Well, thank you both for being here today. Members, any questions?
Madam Chair.
Yes, Senator Farioli.
You know, I think to complete the record, because there are folks following this issue, you mentioned that other entities at the county level would assume those duties in regard to the audits and examinations of the financial records of various entities in the county government. Could you reassure people by explaining who will pick up those examination functions, who will take, you know, who currently does that? You know, maybe the statute doesn't really adequately explain that there are functions that are ongoing for examination and audit, just not vested in the county clerk.
Yes, Madam Chair, members of the committee, that could vary from county to county as to how that occurs. For the most part, it occurs with finance departments for the counties and their budget departments. I believe this is holdover statute from long, long ago when the county clerk was in charge of just about everything at the county level, finances, they were the clerk of the court, a number of things. And as time has gone on, things have been more compartmentalized. I know in Josephine County, it's our finance department that does this.
Madam Chair, a couple follow-up.
Yes, follow-up.
In many of our rural communities, the Public Works Department is a guy in blue overalls with Bob embroidered on one side. For instance, what does the financial department of the Harney County government look like?
Thank you, Senator. Madam Chair, members of the committee, Senator Farioli. In Harney County, the county court oversees the finance department. The location of the office is actually near my office, but I don't oversee that department. So it's a combination of the treasurer and the county court who oversee that department. But as far as examining the books and papers of each of those entities, the annual audit is what accomplishes that for most part from who we contract to do the annual audit. But each voucher and warrant is approved for payment by the county court and commissioners before each meeting, and so that's kind of who oversees those bills.
Madam Chair, I just wanted to make it really clear that every county has a different level of capacity. And in some counties where there's only 1,800 souls, for instance, Sherman County and Wheeler County, the financial department is likely the county clerk, one entity. But citizens in those communities want to make sure that each document and all the financial books and records are looked at. And so I just wanted it for the record that either the annual audit, which is conducted in every county by a licensed professional third-party auditor, or the daily operation of the county court will be the place where those functions occur. But there won't be an annual report from the county clerk that's posted that talks about the financial condition of each department if this is adopted. Is that correct?
Madam Chair, members of the committee, I believe that is correct. I also believe that I know in my county that does not happen now because it's taken care of by the finance company, the finance department.
So I don't know what the debt structure is of your county, but I wouldn't think the finance company would handle that yet.
No.
So, Madam Chair, just the idea that people will want to know that the function will go forward even if it doesn't go forward as it has in the past. And that is what I'm asking you to put on the record.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, yes, the function will continue as it has for years and years. It's just the clerks, it's seldom the clerk that is in charge of it any longer.
Okay. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Great. Thank you, Senator Farioli, for clarifying that. Are there any other questions? Senator Boquist.
Just a point of clarification, Madam mm-hmm. Chair, if you would, please. I'm just clarifying for the record again that, solemnizing the marriage in 5 calendar days, that's actually the person conducting the marriage, just for the record, and that the $25 to $105 is really not a fee increase. It's just simply matching one record to another record. We're catching up those old statutes.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, that's correct.
Thank you.
Thank you, Senator. And I know you explained this last section of the bill dealing with the sheriff and real property, but it looks like that's just changing a may to a shall. So basically saying something that's permissive right now is basically what will be done, right?
Madam Chair, members of the committee, that's correct. We're hoping to improve our able to track a chain of title, and if that certificate is recorded, then when we get an assignment in, they can be linked. So it's a better chain of title for the real property.
Okay, great. Well, I don't see any other questions for you. And we just had this posted for a public hearing today, but it looks fairly straightforward, so I'm sure we'll be bringing it back soon to take action on it. And so, and if you're planning to testify on these other bills as well, you can just stay put. Okay, I'll close this public hearing. And next, open a public hearing on Senate Bill 28. Erin.
And Madam Chair, members of the committee, Senate Bill 28 clarifies the county clerk may use voters registration record rather than physical registration card to authenticate signatures, permits elections officials to deliver form updating information on district board members by best form of communication. There is a no revenue impact, and we have not yet received a fiscal impact.
Okay, thank you, Erin, and please go ahead.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, I'm Darren Robinson once again from Harney County Clerk. Thank you for the opportunity to appear today in today's hearing regarding Senate Bill 28. The Oregon Association of County Clerks supports Senate Bill 28, Oregon Secretary of State's housekeeping bill. The minor fixes to the statutes recommended by OACC and the Secretary include Section 1 of the bill eliminates the mark a clerk makes on an absentee voter signature envelope. This process is currently not required on all other signature envelopes, and it provides a consistent procedure for all signature envelopes. We believe that is a holdout as well from when we had polling place elections and we're doing only absentee ballots by mail. So that process is changed now. Section 2 and 3, technical clarifications from registration card to registration record due to digital signatures available through the Department of Motor Vehicles. And Section 4 eliminates the notice to districts requesting the updated information on a board member's information by certified mail. Counties will continue to use the best mode of communication available for the district's update information, such as regular mail, email, or fax. So once again, we ask for your support of Senate Bill 28. Thank you.
Okay. Questions?
I do have questions.
Go ahead, Senator Farioli.
So if I understand the current system, the voter card, the voter registration card is scanned and uploaded to the master voter registration list that's statewide, and that the card is then destroyed. Is that the current practice?
Madam Chair, members of the committee, part of that is correct. It is scanned in. Our cards are not destroyed.
Okay.
We're to keep those currently. Okay. So I have cards in Harney County back to the beginning of time, just because for historical purposes. But
Madam Chair, I would hide those cards. Were I you? Madam Chair, another question.
Yes, go ahead.
So the voter registration record is an electronic record.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, yes, it is.
Okay. And Madam Chair, that brings me to the heart of the question. In doing a forensic analysis of the allegation of voter fraud, isn't it necessary to have the original signature as a comparator, and that a scan is a bitmapped representation of that original signature and may not be reasonably used in an investigation for voter fraud, because it isn't the original signature, it is a scanned and bitmapped representation of the signature?
Madam Chair and members of the committee, I believe that is correct. It is a scanned image. It wouldn't be the handwritten record of the signature.
So, Madam Chair, that brings me to the issue that gives me trouble about this. If we're going to be using these bitmap scanned electronic facsimiles or representations of the signature, then the real question is, would they be acceptable in court as evidence in an allegation of voter fraud, or would we still need to have the original record as a comparator for forensic analysis? And I can't answer the question on it. I don't know if these gentlemen are the right people to ask the question, but I'll ask it.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, Senator, I think in this legislation, our change is actually requesting the term from card to record to take into account the records we get electronically, that we receive registrations through the online registration system that we never do have paper for. That's the signature was signed at the Department of Motor Vehicles, and so we never do have a registration card. And I think that was the intent of this fix.
So actually, in those cases, there would never have been a card.
That's correct. It was a voter register, or it was a DMV document at that point.
Madam Chair, if I not to seem argumentative, but at some place, you know, either at the Department of Motor Vehicles, there was an original signature. And in the case of a card registration system, there is an original signature on the voter registration card. But if those original signatures are bitmapped, scanned, bitmapped, and uploaded, and then downloaded, are they as effective in an evidentiary setting if there was an allegation of forgery, either on the Department of Motor Vehicles documents or the voter registration documents? Are they as efficacious as originals?
Madam Chair, members of the committee, that truly is a question I can't answer without a legal background or legal knowledge. So.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Senator Farioli. Any other questions? No. Okay. Thank you very much for your testimony. And we do have one other person signed up to testify. So I'll call her forward now, and that's Kay Bridges, if you'd like to come forward.
Madam Chair, I only have limited experience around voter registration cards, but I have watched.
And could you start by just saying your name for the
record?
I'm
sorry, Kay Bridges.
Go ahead.
And I live in Multnomah County. So I observed Multnomah County in the way they judge whether a signature is a correct one or not on the different computer screens at election time, and I have observed that. So I would say that we should keep and preserve every possible manner of evaluating original signatures in order to prevent voter fraud, and very simply stated, as a way to keep those records instead of using the electronic version.
And
that would basically be summary
and
of
you heard the earlier witness that was saying that the intent of the bill was for people who actually register online, that this language would cover that form of registration as well as the cards that we did traditionally.
And when there's a question, however, as Senator Farioli has brought up, I think that the preservation of the original card in those instances is necessary. So that was my main thought on that subject. Thank you.
Okay, thank you for your testimony. Any questions for this witness? Okay, I don't see any questions. Thank you. And I think that completes our testimony. Is there anyone else here to testify on Senate Bill 28? I don't see anyone. I'm sorry, you didn't sign up.
I didn't sign up, and this is very, I'm not.
If you want to testify, you'll have to come forward to the table.
Okay, thank you.
And just identify yourself
okay.
for the record.
I'm Rebecca Roth, and Salem, Oregon. Okay, and Senator, I double vision. I can't see your name. I'm sorry. Anyway, Chair.
Yeah, you can just
okay.
call me Madam Chair.
Madam Chair, thank you. And the thing that came to mind, which I just walked in and I haven't heard all the previous testimony, but the thing that came to mind is that I was at a hearing a couple of years ago where the county people came and testified, and one of the testimonies I heard was the Marion County election officer who said that they had had on the last day of registration they had had a 10,000 people dump. It was an organization that brought, I didn't hear which organization, that brought 10,000 forms to the county to be registered, and he said that they were working on them day and night for days. And it sounded to me like a recipe for huge fraud, because I had read that Acorn had used the system to register anybody from Donald Duck to anybody in other parts of the United States. And I don't know if that's what this was that Multnomah County experienced, but obviously there are people who want to commit fraud, and when you have this kind of thing going on, you have to do everything you can to try to prevent. And this 10,000 signatures that were brought to Multnomah County, that causes such a confusion of the people who are in charge of it, that that they're registering people so quickly, so many at one time, that it's easy to slip by somebody who shouldn't vote. And that's what I wanted to remind you of.
Okay, thank you very much for your testimony. And seeing nobody else signed up to testify, I'll close the public hearing on Senate Bill 28 and open a public hearing on Senate Bill 29. Erin, would you tell us about this bill?
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. Senate Bill 29 establishes procedures for electing precinct committee persons, requires one precinct committee person for every 250 electors rather than for every 500 electors, provides that write-in candidate may be eligible for election to precinct committee person position if there is no other candidate, requires write-in candidate to accept successful write-in candidacy before primary election rather than after election. We have no revenue on the measure. We have not requested, and nor have we received a fiscal impact.
Okay, and it looks like we've got people signed up to testify on this, and I'll call them both, Art Harvey and Darren Robinson. Please come back. Welcome again.
Thank you.
Thank you. Madam Chair, members of the committee, thank you for allowing us to speak today in support of SB 29. As I'm sure you know, during the month of May and even numbered years, the county clerks and elections officials in Oregon are charged with conducting a primary election. From an elections administration perspective, the precinct committee person positions are a very large part of that primary election. Senate Bill 29 would add significant efficiencies and streamline the process of electing precinct committee persons. The way it works is this. If the number of candidates that file is greater
than the number of positions, the positions would appear on the ballot. If the number of candidates is equal to or less than the positions available, those positions would be closed, and any remaining vacant positions, and by that I mean if it's a vote for four and only four people have filed, there's one position that no one has filed for, that position would be available for write-in votes. For those interested in mounting a write-in campaign, they would file no later than the eighth day prior to the election a declaration of write-in candidacy. The reason we've chosen the eighth day is it is before we begin opening ballot packets, and it is well after we have mailed the ballots. People get their ballots, sometimes they realize, oh, gee, I forgot to file. So they still have several days after they receive their ballots to make that choice and file a declaration of write-in candidacy. Using this system, we approximate that over 85% of the PCP positions in the state would remain accessible to write-in candidacies. Another thing the bill would change was it would eliminate the gender designation. Currently, we have committee men and committee women. That is not something that we requested. It's something Ledge Council has said needs to happen. Because of that change being required, we have taken, currently the number is one PCP for every 500 electors. We've lowered that to 250 electors. What that does is maintain the number of PCP positions at its current level. There'd be no change there. And actually, in many ways, changing to a non-gender designation makes it easier for people to file, because frequently you'll get, in a vote for four, you'll have perhaps four women filed and only one man, and so a woman would have to go to another precinct. This would eliminate that need. Excuse me. It also eliminates the need for the clerk or election official to mail an acceptance form to the write-in candidate and have it mailed back to them, because that is taken care of with the declaration of write-in candidacy before the election. The county clerk or elections official would publish and maintain a list of all PCPs on our county website. And while it's hard to put a hard number on an estimate of the financial impact of this bill, we believe the potential is there for significant savings to the counties. OACC believes that SB 29 represents a win-win scenario for the major political parties, clerks and election officials, as well as the citizens of Oregon. We understand that precinct committee persons are the foundation of the major parties at the local level. SB 29 maintains the integrity of these positions while creating a more efficient and cost-effective way to conduct primary elections. Oregon Association of County Clerks would respectfully request your support of SB 29. Thank you.
Thank you. Did you have testimony as well?
No, I'm just here to ask questions, Madam Chair. Thank you.
Okay. And are there questions?
Yes, ma'am.
Senator Boquist.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I just a couple questions, if you would, Madam Chairman. I just want to clarify. I'm certainly going to be the only person saying this ever. I know this. Precinct persons, as far as my understanding is only the two major parties as of this moment. However, there is a third party that's certifying through the process, so there'd be three parties involved. Is that correct, Madam Chair?
Madam Chair, members of the committee.
I'm going through you to be respectful.
Yes. Yes.
Before I drop the bombshell I'm about to drop.
We'll let the witnesses answer.
Yes, we got the notification that I'm sure all of you got, that the independent party, at least tentatively, had qualified as a major party in Oregon. We are told through our lobbyist, Rob Bovette, that the independent party does not have any issues with this bill, that they're fine with this bill. I'm not sure that addressed your question.
Oh, it does.
It does.
Bombshell's
okay.
coming here momentarily. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Okay.
Next question.
Yes.
In your gentleman's experience, because, I mean, you're different than I am. In fact, I'm the odd person here across, I'm quite certain, in my district. In your experience in your two counties, what percentage of these major parties, you don't have to say which parties, are actually filled, and how many of those are vacant?
Well, Madam Chair, members of the committee, I happen to have those numbers. In 2014, last year, we had approximately 17,000 positions statewide. Half of those are Democratic PCPs, half are Republicans. The total filed for those positions, here again, mixing the Republicans and the Dems together, was approximately 3,500 candidates. What that leaves us with was, I'm sorry.
The vacant positions.
Vacant positions. Oh, total vacant positions, 12,611.
Yes, go ahead.
Just for the record, I mean, my district, I know, is significantly different than the rest of the members here. I mean, I don't have a majority of anybody. In fact, you couldn't get to a majority in mine, I think, in the next, I don't know, 16 or 18 years at this point. And so my question is wouldn't there be significant cost savings if all these elections were completely eliminated and parties just elected their own like they do in many other states?
Madam Chair, members of the committee, perhaps there could be. We haven't done any analysis of that, but during this process, we took care. These positions truly are the building blocks of the major parties in this state. It's a way that people who are interested in the process get involved. So we do consider them important positions, and we don't want to do anything to negate that. This bill in front of you was still allowing write-in candidacy. We thought was a good compromise that would defend the integrity of the position.
Thank you, Manager. I used to think what he thought, but I don't think it anymore.
Okay, thank you, Senator Boquist. Yes, Senator Farioli.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Is there any provision for filling unfilled precinct committee person positions after the election?
Madam Chair, members of the committee, yes, the parties can appoint, and they do frequently.
Okay, so I don't see any other questions for you. I know that we have been trying to come up with a proposal to streamline this process for a long time, so looks like you have found one, and although today is only a public hearing, and we don't have a fiscal right on that, so we'll have to pursue paperwork on this, but I'm sure we will see some cost savings, probably significant cost savings as a result of this. So, okay, well, thank you very much for your testimony.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
No one else is signed up to testify on this bill, so I will close the public hearing on Senate Bill 29. And members, these three bills were the only bills we had in front of us today. I'm sure you'll see them back as soon as we have them ready to go and we get a chance to talk to you about them. And so I think that is it for today. Do we have a hearing currently for Tuesday, or do we know that yet?
Madam Chair, members of the committee, we are planning on scheduling our meeting for Tuesday. The issue at hand that day will be three bills we have in this committee from the Government Ethics Commission. Senate Bill 293, Senate Bill 294, and Senate Bill 292. One is related to conflict of interest. One is related to the ability to bring a non-member of your household to an event. So to bring an adult child who doesn't live with you to an event and have that cost covered. And the third one is around rulemaking around executive sessions. And those will be public hearings on Tuesday.
Okay, so we will have a hearing on Tuesday, and then currently a week from today would be our executive appointments committee hearing. So we could, and that list has been published, so you have that.
All 6 inches. I got it.
That's what you signed up for, Senator Boquist.
Exactly what I signed up for.
Okay, members, with nothing further to come before us today, we are adjourned. Thank you.